Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, a conversation with Keith Law, the writer for The Athletic that has the Dodgers as the number one farm system in all of baseball. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube by simply searching Locked On Dodgers. Subscribe in all those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reading Fiends, and this is your first time listening. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. Today we have a special guest, and I will not be on the majority of today's episode. Jeff Snyder, my usual co-host from Baseball Central, he talked with Keith Law of The Athletic, who recently released his top 100 prospects, his top farm system. Dodgers had a bunch of people in the top 100. Dodgers were ranked the number one overall farm system. So Jeff talked to Keith Law and found out why, and that's what's on tap for today's episode, and get into this conversation with Keith Law.
All right, we are here with Keith Law. He's a senior baseball writer for The Athletic and a prospect hound and, basically the smartest guy in baseball because he is the guy who ranked the Dodgers farm system number one overall. Keith, thanks for taking the time to talk Dodgers prospects with me.
If I'm a prospect hound, do I bark? Do I howl?
I think you
meow, don't you? I'm not quite sure. Huh?
You meow, don't you?
I do. Yeah, he's not here. The three-legged cat is not – he'll. I guarantee he will meow at the door at some point while we're talking.
We may get an appearance from Bias Cat.
Yes, but, I will let you know.
But, most of the time you're getting asked, why do you hate my team? And I'm going to start this a little different. I'm going to ask, why do you love my team and why does everybody else hate my team?
So I don't look at other rankings when doing my own, right, because I don't want to – bias myself even subconsciously. And that's not to say I don't respect the work that, we're talking like MLB and Fangraphs and Baseball America and Kylie over at ESPN. Like there's a very small group of us who do this full time. So it's not that I don't think they do good work. I do think they do very good work. And that's part of the reason I don't want to look at what they're doing too much before I write my own, which is not to say we never talk, but of course we do. But at the same time, like I really want to make sure that my rankings are my opinion because that's what's valuable to the readers, just as Eric over at Fangraphs giving his opinion is valuable to his readers. And I hope readers look at lots of our work and pay for lots of our work and are interested in getting a diversity of opinions. That said, I was actually surprised. I appear to be much higher on the Dodgers farm system than my peers who I just listed. And I'm just surprised. I actually thought everyone would kind of see them the same way. The cargo train is coming through. Yes. Apparently, I live in Little House on the Prairie now.
All aboard the prospect train.
Absolutely. Everyone, it should be the Dodgers train, right? There's Bobby Miller's hanging off the back right there.
Hey, last time you and I talked, you told me Gavin Lux was going to be the next Mike Trout. So I'm just waiting for that.
Damn it. You deleted that. I told you to delete that. I still like Gavin Lux, by the way. I still think he's going to be good. I say that I'm surprised because I think that the case for the Dodgers to be an elite farm system, whether you think they're 1, 2, 3, whatever, these are minor quibbles. But I think the case for them to be at the very top with Seattle and Tampa Bay, the other clubs that I think have good arguments to be at the very, very top, is pretty straightforward because it is a combination of quality and quantity. To me, the best farm systems in baseball at any given point in time should have a lot of both. They should have a pretty good number of prospects who project to be above average regulars or better. Dodgers absolutely have that. And they should have a lot of depth. You should be able to talk about the players beyond their top 10 and still be talking about guys who project to have some sort of significant big league value, more than just up and down guys, emergency call-ups, middle relief types. And the Dodgers have that probably as much as anybody other than the Rays. I mean, to me, the Mariners are a little bit different because it's very top heavy. They have quite a few guys who who look like they could really be stars, but it does taper off a bit more as you get deeper into the system than the Dodgers and the Rays, where they just kind of keep going. And I was talking after my rankings went up, was talking to a front office executive with another club who was doing some work of his own on the Dodgers system, and said, my God, the Dodgers system just keeps going. And he was particularly looking at the pitching, but just in general, that they just, it's one name after another, where you can see a reasonable argument for them to have positive, you know, above replacement level major league value, and maybe even more upside than that, because they tend to really focus on acquiring guys who are athletic. There are a lot of really, really good athletes in the Dodgers system, which I think is part of why, you know, they've got this, we can talk more about this, but this, you know, highly integrated approach where all their scouting departments and player development and analytics are all working together. And so you bring in really athletic guys, and player development can better work with those guys and get them to make changes, which I think is why you see so many guys come into the system. You know, Nick Nastrini and Emma Sheehan from last year's draft being good examples. They come in and they get a whole lot better, often fairly quickly. And so the sheer quantity of guys like that who have come into the system, sometimes they came in already good, a lot of times they come in and they got a lot better, but they have a lot of upside. And the Dodgers, I think, have more of that type of player than any other team in baseball.
Yeah, it's an interesting, if you look at, you know, your top 100, the Dodgers only have one guy in your top 49, but then they've got five more from 50 to 100. And so it's like you say, you know, use that phrase top heavy to describe the Mariners. It's the Dodgers definitely aren't top heavy, but then they also have, you know, and maybe this is a good time to just jump into talking about somebody specific. Your top Dodgers prospect is Diego Cartaya, who, you know, the last sentence you wrote about him in your little write-up says that he has number one overall prospect upside. And that's for a catcher who's 19 years old, you know, almost 20 or just turned 20. Tell me, why should we be so excited about Diego Cartaya, or should we temper our expectations?
Football season is over. Baseball season has yet to start, but basketball season is all in right now. Pro and college hoops, big stuff coming in the next few months for those sports. So make sure to check out betonline.net for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, and anything else you need. BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. They're the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And not just basketball, they got you covered for hockey, boxing, UFC, and whatever else comes along the way. So head to their website today, betonline.net, on your laptop or mobile device, and learn about all the trends and action going on right now. BetOnline, where the game starts. Before we get back into the conversation with Keith Law, I just want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And for another listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts.
You should probably always temper your expectations, right? Prospects will break your heart, and I would say it's probably most true for pitchers and second most true for catchers, right? They get hurt a lot. And often they don't stay at the position, and that really changes the outlook. You know, Paul Konerko turned out to be a pretty great big leaguer. Imagine if he'd actually been a catcher. He'd probably be in the Hall of Fame at this point if he had. So, you could temper your expectations, but Cartaya looks pretty great across the board. It is honestly the only negative for him right now. The only red flag is that he's not stayed healthy so far, but he's obviously a baby. He didn't play in 2020 because nobody played in 2020. So you can't hold that against him. He only played for a month last year and then had a hamstring strain that ended his season. It was bad enough that it effectively ended his season. But in the limited times that we've seen him play pro games, he has shown the ability to hit. He has shown solid plate discipline. He has shown high quality contact, and he's already shown power. There's not really much we're looking for in a young hitter beyond that, other than just keep doing it, right? Show that you can continue to do it when you face teams a second or third time and they start to get a book on you. Show that you can continue to do it as you're moved up the ladder, as in this case, the Dodgers continue to challenge Cartaya with facing better and better competition. And I have not run into anybody who has seen Cartaya, and I've seen Cartaya once myself before the pandemic, so I could include myself in that. Nobody doubts that he's going to stay behind the plate. If there were a real question about that, he'd be quite a bit lower in my rankings. A huge part of why he is where he is, why Adley Rutschman is at one and Francisco Alvarez and Gabriel Moreno were up in my top 15 also. They're all catchers. They're all going to stay at catcher because there's such positional value for a guy who can just even be an adequate defender behind the plate. And Cartaya can certainly be that. I think he'll end up being more than that. And so you're talking about a guy who hits well enough that he might be an all-star if he were a DH, but he's going to stay behind the plate. That's pretty great, right? We're not really missing anything there other than playing time. That's the one thing. And if there's one thing I want to see from Cartaya this year, it's stay on the field for 400 at-bats.
Yeah, that seems to be probably everybody's goal in the Dodgers organization is let's just get a full season out of Cartaya wherever he plays, you know, and just let him play a full season. You would hope that, you know, a hamstring issue probably isn't something that, you know, you necessarily have to worry about recurring, and maybe they were overly cautious about shutting him down because, you know, he is so valuable a prospect. Well, let's not risk rushing him back too soon. Let's just call it a year and come back next year. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what he can do over a full season wherever he is. Do we think he's done growing? He's 6'3", which is about as big as you want to be for a catcher.
Yeah, you can top out at about 6'4 or so, right? I don't think he's growing that way, right? He's going to get bigger,
yeah,
obviously, and that's always a question. Nobody seems to think he's going to get taller. Also, I believe he's 20 now. Most humans have stopped growing by age 20. I know there's a few exceptions, but I think we're okay on that front. I'm not actively worried, nor is anybody else expressing the worry that he's going to get too tall for the position.
Awesome. Speaking of tall people, let's talk about Bobby Miller. He's tall. His hat makes him even taller because he wears that thing right on the top of his head. And, you know, so he's 6'5", or, you know, 6'14" with the hat on.
Yes.
And,
is that a Fletch reference?
not on purpose, but, okay. You know,
that Fletch reference hasn't aged as well. So maybe that's for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to keep Chevy Chase out of our conversation most of the time these days. But Bobby Miller is kind of one of those guys who you were mentioning how guys will come into the Dodger system and get better. And Bobby Miller, not like he wasn't good. He was, you know, a first round pick, but it seems like he came into the Dodger system like they targeted, okay, this guy has some of these qualities that we know we can work with in our system. And that he came into the system and boom, they just kind of started maximizing him immediately.
It's interesting because my recollection of Miller, and he was the pandemic draft, right? So it's not like people saw a whole lot, right? He was 2020. And yeah. So I never saw him. And getting information from folks who saw anybody in the pandemic year was more difficult, right? So we only got to see guys a handful of times. Some high school guys never pitched at all. And in Miller's case, it was that he was pretty fastball heavy. It was really kind of a 1.5 to 2 pitch guy. That was the book that I had on him from talking to multiple folks, and people said it was a really good high quality fastball. Everyone's talking now about secondary characteristics or fastball quality, and he really had it, and that he'd show you a potentially plus slider as well, but that there it seemed like there'd be a lot of reliever risk, and he's, you know, how good was the secondary stuff? He's had some minor injury stuff, nothing really significant so far. Then he rolls out this year and he's a 4-pitch guy with plus control and pretty good command and just absolutely dominating lower level competition. I see him in the fall league and see everything that I'd heard he was going to be during, you know, from folks during the regular season. He was all of that. You could easily put above average grades on all 4 of his pitches if you saw him in fall league. Now, fall league was a 3-inning stint. Everybody's stuff looks a little better when your outings are shorter. But even if you could argue it's 4 pitches that are average or better with the fastball and slider probably both plus, yeah, I'll take that. 8 days a week, I will take that. And he's pretty athletic. And I think the arm works pretty well. And I tell this story because then after I write that up, a scout I know who's a regional guy who saw Miller in the draft said he was always a 4-pitch guy. And I think it might've just been that, yeah, the pandemic year, he only had a couple of outings. Teams probably hadn't gotten around to seeing him, not seeing him enough. And so I think a bunch of teams kind of had incomplete information on him, and maybe the Dodgers, from whatever their process is, it could simply be that they have more scouts. They have a lot of scouts. They're one of the teams that has not cut back on scouting at all. They had better information. Good for them. It's funny. Information is not that expensive to acquire. It might just require keeping a couple extra scouts on your staff. Good for them for doing it. And I think that's kind of the Bobby Miller story here, is that the Dodgers didn't so much, I mean, you could say it's a steal relative to where he was picked, but it's also that they just had a better process. And so they knew what they were getting more than the teams ahead of him, who, teams ahead of them who passed on Miller, maybe didn't have the same quality of information or the same level of confidence in the information that they had.
Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars. I know it. If you don't know it, you need to learn it, because Built Bars are simply the best, and they are everything you could ask for. They taste great like a candy bar. They're good for you like a protein bar. Combination of the two, unmasked in this world. Go get you some Built Bars. But they don't have just Built Bars. They have Built Puffs as well, which are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They are delicious. Honestly, I might like them a little bit more than Built Bars, and I already really like Built Bars. So go check them out. They got a bunch of different flavors in both Built Bars and Built Puffs. They're always adding new flavors, mixing new flavors. You can get a mixed box to try them all out. Do all that. Get what you need. Low-calorie, high-protein. Replace your candy bars with Built Bars and see how your life changes. And right now, you can get 15% off with the promo code LOCK15 at Built.com. So just head to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off at Built.com. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain store or car dealership to have all the parts you need. So why endure pointless or often intimidating questioning and looking and ordering and all that kind of stuff when you can just go to rockauto.com, do it all from the comfort of wherever you are, and take care of what you need to get done and get it shipped directly to you at the cheapest price out there? Why spend up to 30, 50, maybe even 100% more for the same parts from a car store or auto dealership? You can just go to rockauto.com, get it all, like I said, delivered directly to you. They have everything you need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Check it out, rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been helping people online for over 20 years. And when you're on rockauto.com and you're looking for all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box to let them know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day, every day. And let's get back to our conversation with Keith Law.
Yeah, that's one of the things that strikes me about the Dodgers is it's not just player development. It's not just that they draft well. It's a combination. And even, you know, from the top level down, that it is so integrated, the entire organization is working together with the same goals. And they really do, you know, put the resources into having this farm system that just, like you said, keeps churning out prospects. And that seems like scouting is probably a pretty big key to drafting well.
Yes. I mean, it's go figure, right? And it turns out having good scouts and having enough scouts, I think it's both of those things. It's pretty hard to draft well without those two. And I think that's why you saw, you know, what really happened with Houston in the last few years that Luna was there. And this is carrying over because they still haven't really been able to staff back up. Now it's due to the pandemic. And my understanding is the owner there pushing back on attempts to build back up in their baseball operations department in general. But Houston went from, hey, they're drafting great. Look at all the success they're having. Oh, well, it's because they're drafting in the top five, you know, consistently. They drafted first overall a couple years in a row. It's kind of true, but the biggest reason that their drafts started getting worse is not so much that they were drafting lower, but they got rid of most of their scouts. In R&D can only do so much to identify players for you. You just need more boots on the ground. You need more people traversing the country, not just seeing players, but talking to people, talking to local coaches, talking to people in the, you know, people in the local baseball communities to find out, oh, here's this kid. This kid's coming up for next year. This guy should be on your follow list. If you don't have the personnel, it's really hard to be successful in the draft, especially after those high first round picks or wherever your first round pick will be. And I credit the Dodgers. I mentioned the Dodgers and the Rays as having two of the best farm systems in baseball. Those two clubs have something pretty, well, they have several things, but something pretty significant in common. They have both maintained large scouting staffs and had them integrated them thoroughly into all of baseball operations. You talk to people who scout for those two teams, they speak about how involved they feel in the various processes, whether it's in the draft room, which I hear a ton with the Dodgers. Billy Gasparino does a tremendous job managing, working with his staff on the amateur side. You talk to the Rays people, a lot of their scouts will tell you they feel like they're very involved, often in major league roster decisions, where their pro scouts are in those conversations on a regular basis and what to do, whether it's making a trade or who to put on the 40-man. That's how you run a business. That's how you manage a staff, is you make sure that your people feel empowered and feel like their work matters and they will want to stay, and you will get better results from them, which means better results for your, in this case, for your team as a whole. I don't think it's rocket science. I kind of hate that expression, but in this case, I can't think of a better cliche to pull out for it. It's not that complicated, and yet so few teams do it well. And it's not a coincidence. The two of the teams that do it the best are at the top of my farm system rankings, and both are very well represented on my top 100.
And they're opposite ends of the financial spectrum, mm-hmm. which shows, you know, that, you know, if the Rays can do it, anybody can do it financially. Yep. It's, you know, that's a, it's a, you mentioned the Astros drafting first overall, and yeah, that's kind of the easy answer for their success at that time. But, you know, one of those first overall picks was Carlos Correa, but two of them were Brady Aiken and Mark Appel, right?
Yeah. So. I don't remember those guys doing much for the Astros in the big leagues. So, like, in Aiken's case, right, he flunks his physical because of, I mean, still the most bizarre, fluky thing I've ever seen in 20 years in this business in a high draft pick. I wasn't around for R.A. Dickey, but it was comparable to that. Right? R.A. Dickey, they do this. He has no UCL at all. We don't even know what to do. Is he human? Well, you know, Aiken's case, there's just a whole malformation. I think most folks know the story. They don't sign him. They're highly criticized. I was one of the people criticizing them. I thought they were just kind of trying to find a way around paying him full freight. Turns out, A, they were right. B, they took the pick that they got as compensation and drafted Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I guess that worked out for him.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that we started this discussion with Bobby Miller with speaking of tall people, and then we ended up talking about Alex Bregman, who lies about his height. So
he's about my size.
Yeah.
I'm shaking Alex Bregman's hand. When I find a player who says he's, you know, 5'10-ish, and then I see them, nah, I do kind of go out of my way to try to meet them at some point. Cause folks who haven't met me, I am barely 5'6". And so if I can shake your hand and more or less look you in the eye, you're not 5'10".
Yeah. Well, but Alex Bregman, did you know he's listed at 6 feet?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's remarkable. I was talking.
I'm 5'11".
Yeah. Yeah. I've mentioned, you know, Keith could, if I was a kangaroo, Keith would fit in my baby pouch.
Yes.
You know, and, yeah, it's, all right. Well,
top, I guess shelf, that's top shelf can be a challenge for me sometimes, but I am actually the tallest person in the house. So wow. I have top shelf responsibilities.
See, that's an example of scouting and drafting. Well, you know,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We are unsized. My wife, actually the second tallest person in my house is my daughter, followed by my wife and then my stepdaughters, who are much younger, but my youngest stepdaughter is very tiny. Like, she's just always going to be small. So we just say we're a fun sized family.
That's perfect. That's the opposite of mine. I'm the tallest of my family, but I'm 6'3" and my 14-year-old son has almost caught up to me already.
So. Woof. Left-handed, right-handed. What do we got here?
He's a righty. Okay. He's a corner infielder, but he also pitches some. So we're kind of, you know, he's a big kid and we're working on the athleticism. So mm-hmm. we'll get
there. Stay flexible. Yep. He's got time. I'll be out to scout him in 3 years.
Yeah, that's perfect. One last Bobby Miller question. Yeah, there's you hear a lot of comparisons to Walker Buehler, mm-hmm. Partly because they kind of look alike. Miller is a little bit taller, but you know, the four pitches and everything. Do you think there are comparisons there between Miller and Buehler?
That's a good question. I'm hesitating a little bit because I don't see it. They don't look quite that similar. God, I saw Buehler as an underclassman, and I liked him for what he was. He was skinny. I mean, he was just, hey, is this guy ever going to be strong enough just to hold up? And then, of course, he blows out, and it's like, oh, well, there you go. You know, although to his credit, that junior year he was pitching with the bad UCL at Vanderbilt, that guy competed his ass off. He was really trying not to have surgery and trying to just help them win. And I know it's not always the best thing, but I just, in this case, I don't think Brelo was any worse off for doing it. And I give him credit for the attempt. I saw him, he was 88, 92 when I saw him his junior year. I don't even know, he's obviously hurt. I don't even know what to do with him. He goes out, has Tommy John, and Brandon McCarthy has publicly shared how hard Buehler worked on his strength and conditioning while he was rehabbing, particularly on his lower half. And that's how Buehler went from 92, 95, the last time I saw him healthy before he was drafted, to obviously what you see him doing now. Could I see Miller following a similar path in the big leagues, which I think is probably really more the core of your question? Yeah, I could see that. I don't think that's an unfair comparison. And I think there were probably just as many questions. I probably had just as many questions about Buehler as there are about Miller, maybe even more so, right? Because Buehler had had the elbow injury, and because we just, what do we do with this guy now? Suddenly he's got legs the size of redwood tree trunks. That's not the player we saw going. Buehler was a guy in high school. Everybody knew who he was, but it was, God, he's tall and skinny, and is he really that projectable? Whereas in Miller's case, I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning the size or durability from that angle. So I almost feel like Miller, if I could go back and look at Buehler at the same point in his career where Miller is right now, I would probably tell you I have more confidence in Miller being a starter than I did at that point because of Buehler's, you know, just general history of, you know, having Tommy John and not being very big before he came back from that surgery.
That makes sense.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Keith Law, for joining us and talking Dodgers prospects. Best part is that Keith Law will be again on tomorrow's episode talking more with Dodgers prospects with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. And that's what's on tap to close out the week. Make your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you a unique perspective on major leagues, past and present, free and available wherever you get podcasts. Remember, you can find us wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.